In the last week, we began to study the ministry of wealth and the vow of poverty. And in it, we want to try and balance some issues and prepare the hearts of people for what God wants to do. Let me say this to us again. What comes to you in life is not what you struggle for. Number one, sometimes you get what you desire, but it's not what you desire really that comes to you in life. What really comes to you in life is that which you expect, that which you have prepared for. The interesting part is that most people's expectations are different from their desires. Expectations are not based on wishes and or what you will like or dislike. Expectations are based upon information that you have accepted as real. Are you getting my point? If a man is sick, he goes to a doctor and the doctor checks and says, you have cancer of, say, the pancreas, and we are sorry, there's not much we can do for you, so put your house in order, for you will die and not live. The man begins to expect to die, not because he desires to die. He might go to church and pray, but he's praying with an expectation of dying. Most of the prayers that people pray are not prayers of faith, they are prayers of fear. What I mean is that the man has nothing else to reach out to. So he starts praying, but while he's praying, he's not really expecting things. He's just venting the agony in his soul. He's not really expecting anything. Do you get my point? And if God will answer such a prayer, believe me, the first thing he does is to first change the man's mind, first change his expectation by giving him a new set of information. And that's the way it works. That's why you see Abraham. Abraham was not expecting to have a child at the beginning. In fact, when he started working with God, he didn't go bothering God about giving me a son. In fact, the question was, what will you give me seeing that I go childless? And until he came to the position of agreeing with God that he will have a son, God couldn't give that child to him. I don't know whether you're getting my point. So the process of time with which God was dealing with Abraham, what he was doing actually was trying to change Abraham's mind, trying to convert, that's a very good word, trying to convert Abraham to his own way of thinking. Are you getting my point? That, you know, one of the things he does is that he will tell you, you will not die being childless, but you will have a son. Why didn't God just surprise him one day with a child? No, Abraham had to first accept that, yes, I will no longer die childless. The Bible says that against hope, he believed in hope, all right? Because there was a word that God now gave to him. What I'm trying to say is this. His expectation beforehand was based upon the information he had, based upon his age and that of his wife. And afterwards, God gave him a word, and his new expectation was now based upon the new information that he had, which was what? The word of God. You are getting the point there. So it was that now came upon him. Now, you know, we've discussed that here and there, we're talking about faith. That's why it took God so many years to bring Isaac to Abraham. Are you getting what I'm going to say? Because it was a process of time through which God developed the faith of Abraham. And, you know, I'm saying this to explain the reason why we do many of the teachings that we do. It is because a lot of people pray in unbelief. And when you say in unbelief, it doesn't mean that they are not praying to God. No, let me give you an example. The disciples of Jesus Christ, were they not following Jesus Christ? They were. Yeah, he called them people of little faith. So following him didn't mean they had great faith at all. That is, what you need to follow is smaller than little faith. Are you following the point I'm making here? All right. So people may be crying to God, but they really have not been converted to God's way of thinking. They really have not been converted to what God wants to do. Are you getting my point? That's why you find out that, you know, many Nigerians pray for prosperity, pray for jobs, pray for anything, but give the same man a job, give the same man the prosperity, maybe the prosperity is about to show up, then you give him a visa to a country where he won't get a job. You know, he takes it fast because all the while he may have been praying. But deep inside his heart, what he's telling you is that, man, there is no hope here. Though he's shouting. That's why sometimes it will appear as if God didn't answer somebody's prayers. You know, God, he sees the part of the heart that you don't see. Are you getting my point? What am I saying? I'm trying to explain that what God does is to spend time, all right, changing your expectation, changing your mind, changing your the program that controls your life so that you will begin to think like God and expect the things that God can do. It's only when you have gotten to that point that then God can begin to answer those prayers. That's why some people will pray simply and God will answer. And some will shout for years and months, yet God doesn't seem to move. The reason being that, you know, when God will have answered, many will have even rejected the answer. Are you getting my point? Because until God converts you in your heart to his side, answering prayers for you, you will lose the answer immediately. In fact, I had one, there's a way I apply that in the scriptures. If you remember the, which widow now, one of those many, no, this was not a widow. It was Elisha, that rich woman that built a small house on the roof for Elisha. You know, the first time Elisha prophesied that she would have a son. Now, this is my own way of explaining it. Whether that's exactly what happened, I'm not very sure, but it sounds very nice, all right? And I think it's probably correct. You know, first time Elisha prophesied, Gehazi said, look, I noticed that she doesn't have a child. Okay, Elisha just called her and prophesied, all right? But this time next year, you will carry a son. And she answered, don't lie to me, man of God, all right? Okay, did she have a child, as Elisha said? Of course she did, except that the child died. Are you getting what I'm going to say? Now, this is my own interpretation. She didn't receive the child, all right, by her own faith. He was being carried by the faith of the man of God. When Satan saw that the man of God was very far away, quickly killed the child when the man of God was not around. Are you getting my point? So she now sent for the man of God, say, look, you know what is it? Did I not, she had not yet received it. So the man of God now came, let me call the story short, and then raised the child up from the dead. But this time around, he now told the woman, go and take him up for yourself. That is, this one of giving you things by force, it doesn't help us. Now you go and take it by yourself. Now get this point. We're talking about the ministry of wealth and the vow of poverty. Remember I said this before? When John sent to Jesus Christ and said, are you the one to come or we are to expect another? He said, go and tell John what you both see and hear, all right? He said, the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the dead are raised. Then last he said, the poor has the gospel preached to them. He never gave the poor like money for breakthrough, all right? He used to give, you know, like I say, what God ordained for you to give to beggars is food, you know, give us this day our daily bread, literally. Are you getting my point? That's why I'm not ashamed of it. I don't give beggars anything more than crumbs. You get my point? Crumbs. You know what they call crumbs? Change. That's what crumbs are. The reason being that I don't... No, look, it's not righteousness to say, okay, I gave a beggar 5,000. Believe me, you've thrown away 5,000 there. I can give people 5,000. I can give people 50,000. I can give you 100,000. I can give 500. Look, that's not the issue. But where are you giving it to? Once you're a beggar, are you getting my point? Come on. Maximum amount as of today is 10 bucks. 20 if I don't have change. Anything beyond that is not your portion. At all. It's not. If I go, somebody, a young man is laboring hard and he charges me maybe 50 naira for a job, I can pay him, a 100 naira. You know, like the guy who barbers my hair, I like the way he does it. And it's an easy way to ensure your barber never forgets your haircut. Pay him very well. I never talk when I enter the barber. Okay, welcome, sir. Sit down here. The guy carves my hair very nicely because the pay is always double what he charges. Are you getting my point? He is not a beggar, all right? That money has value. It can prosper him. It will not prosper a beggar. How do I know? Give a beggar $1 million. Believe me. Give him another month. He's back in the same spot. That's why Jesus preached the gospel to the poor. Because what keeps him in poverty, all right, is something that's inside him. It's not the fact that he does not have money. I like one thing Robert Kiyosaki said in his series, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. He said that his rich dad refused to ever give him money. That will never help him. That it will never help him. That he taught him from the beginning that you create wealth from inside. Are you getting my point? Therefore, Jesus preached the gospel to the poor. Please, are you following my point? Look, Moses dragged the children of Israel out of Egypt. Every little obstruction on the way, we are going back. Egypt, they left Egypt, like we say, but Egypt never left them. That was why they died in the wilderness. Are you getting my point? Listen, God is not in a hurry. All right? 1,000 years... you know, with the Lord is like a day. And what did he say? He said God is waiting for men to repent. It's not as if God likes to waste time. But that's how long it takes for God to convert you, all right, to the place where he wants you to be. If you are converted in a year, then to you, a year is like a day. If you are converted in 5 years, to you, 5 years is like a day. If it takes 1,000 years, God never grows old. You are the one that will keep on aging. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? So you must quickly walk with God, reorient your mind. There is no substitute. No, the source of prosperity for the child of God is to be present at the preaching of the word of God. The reason being this, once the word is coming forth, it's reorienting your heart. It's when your heart has reached the correct place that breakthrough comes by itself.
Listen, you can never by yourself orchestrate breakthrough. It doesn't happen. Listen, I told you something last week. Let me just say it again. Every experience in life, God is using it to change you. So don't be angry with anybody. I had an experience last week which was a bit nasty. You know, not something very terrible, but it normally to make me very unhappy. Then when I go home, in fact, until yesterday, I didn't tell my wife about it. Then when I go home, I just told my wife, look, listen, do you have to cook? Let's go out. Let's go and eat. In my mind, let me go and spend money to rejoice in the disciplining of the Lord. Unfortunately, rain spoiled it. It rained quite heavily, so we couldn't go out again. And she didn't understand. In my heart, what was going on is that, listen, I didn't look at, look, this is the experience I had today. I looked at it. I said, God, I don't just want to rationalize to make myself happy. But I know that in every situation, you are making me a better person. I may not know what I have learned now, but one day a word will come forth, which will only make meaning to me as he walks upon this experience. Let me explain what I'm trying to say. Jesus talked to his disciples again and again and again and again and again. They couldn't understand things. He told them, look, I won't even say anything anymore. He said, but the Holy Spirit will come and he will lead you into all truth. I said it that it's not as if the Holy Spirit is a better teacher than Jesus Christ could be in their presence. It's just because between him and the coming of the Holy Spirit, they will have had experiences that will make the scriptures easy for them to understand. When he said that he will be killed, how can you tell the man who raised Lazarus from the dead that somebody will kill him? Are you getting my point? You are telling the disciples. It doesn't make sense. I mean, Peter, James, John, they have become important people in Israel. Are you getting you follow my point? They were the big men around Jesus Christ. Suddenly telling that they will have to go and look for a job. If not joke, just stop the joke now. But then before their eyes, they took him. Cheap thief like Judas betrayed him. Even Judas thought that, I'm going to swindle you people. You know, Judas was doing 419. He thought that, I'll collect your money. You want to catch Jesus? Just see now. You can't. Collected the money. To a surprise, they collected him and started beating him and he was bleeding. No, this must be a joke. This must be a joke. And next thing, they carried him somewhere. That's where Judas went. I said, come take your money. I'm not doing it again. It's too late. You are following the point I'm making? All right, so, but then they were not able to understand what the scripture said. When he met those two disciples on their way to Emmaus, he began to tell them that, they were talking, he said, what are you talking about? He said, are you the only one in Jerusalem that does not know what's been going on in recent times? He said, what's been going on? Look at this Jesus Christ, he never did anything. He never did anything, yet they killed him like a common criminal. Then Jesus said, you've forgotten what they said under the laws of Moses. Remember what Isaiah said, he was led as a sheep, all right, to the slaughter, and he did not open his mouth. Oh, that makes sense. Then he continued explaining. He taught them so much by evening. They said, don't go. This man knows too much. The things he would have taught them earlier that they would not have been able to understand. Now, because of their experiences, they easily understood it. Are you getting my point? And that's the way life is. I explained last week that wealth is a ministry. Do you get my point? That many of the things that you have experienced in life is to make you an effective minister. Because the Bible says that he's an effective high priest because he's touched with the infirmities of the people that he's representing before God. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That's just the way it works. So what God is doing through all your experiences is to bring you to the place, bring your heart to the position where it can really receive revelation. And once it has received revelation, then it will have a new expectation. And your expectation will never be disappointed. Believe me. The expectation of the child of God, based upon the working of the word of God and the spirit of God in his heart, can never be disappointed. You can't kill him. No. Get what I'm going to say. You can't kill him until those things have been fulfilled. I remember Simeon. The man was old. Even he was tired of life. But there was a revelation that had come to him. That the Messiah is about to be born. And he wasn't going to die until that child had been born. And the day he heard the child cry, suddenly the thing clicked. And he looked at the child and said, now, you know, that's what he said. Now your servant can depart in peace, that my eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. No, that look, listen. You will not die until your eyes have seen the expectation that God created in your heart. That's what I'm saying. You are getting what I want to say? Listen, death is a spirit. It catches people that are not going anywhere. I know what I'm saying, and I'm not joking about it. Believe me, when God looks and says, this thing won't get anywhere, that's when he removes his restraining, because God's restraining hand is on everything in life. Believe me, God's restraining hand is on what? everything. He said, your hair does not even cut until God says it is okay. You are getting what I'm going to say? And that's the way it is with you, it is with your life. Once God has created something in your heart, you won't die until you see it. Do you get my point? And that's just the way it works. All right, so please, that's what we are doing, trying to align our hearts. And the way it works, like I said earlier, is we are just in the presence of the preaching of the word of God. It's not a matter of effort. It's not a matter of effort. We'll share that again today. You will find out that God rules in the affairs of men, and he gives the kingdoms to whomsoever he wishes. That's the way it works. Anybody that God decides this guy is ready, God knows how to arrange things to find the person. I used to say, like, look, people say that you are looking for a job. You go to Lagos. That's where the opportunities are. Go to Abuja. Go to UK. Go to Australia. Go to these places. Those are the places where you have opportunities. Believe me, it is not true. David never went anywhere near the throne of Saul when Samuel came to his house to look for him. Are you getting what I'm going to say? That's the way it worked. Joseph was in prison when the Bible says that the king sent for him and loosed him. Hey, my friend is not around. I gave it his testimony. He told me once he just called me. He said, Banky, let me send some money for maybe to support broadcast. No, we're about to pay rent. All right? So he said, send some money towards paying rent for Kingdom World for the year. He said, I'll give you gist when I see you next time. Then when he gave me gist, he was sitting down here when his phone rang. And somebody called him. I said, please, I'm so pressing. A name he instantly recognized. You are following my point? He said, what can I do for you, sir? Somebody said you are an honest and a skilled person to do this particular thing for me. Can we see in my house? The guy didn't tell the man he was in any way. He said, no problem, sir. He just drove his car to the airport, parked it there, jumped on the next available flight, and he was in Lagos. That is, a man in Lagos sent for him from here. Do you get my point? Now, listen to what I'm going to say. You can be in a Abakiliki when God says it is time. You get my point? Listen, I've always said this. Don't ever forget it. The opportunity that missed you because you were not in Lagos was not your own. You are not the only person God wants to bless. I keep on saying that thing. The opportunity that missed you because you were not there was not yours. If it's yours, it will wait till you come back. That's just the way it works. People say opportunity lost can never be regained. I say it's not true. That is not the gospel of the man that is blessed. You are getting my point? If my wife comes to look for me, she doesn't find me. Does she become your wife? You're looking for trouble before you even think about it. Why? Because she bears my name. It's simple. Are you getting my point? If my wife says, okay, come here, please. I will be so-and-so, please. Fine, come and pick me up there. I get there, she's not there. Will I pick another woman because my wife is not there? Next thing I do, I pick my phone. I mean, I start asking for direction to the place where she is right now. Why? Because the attachment is there. What God has joined together, nobody. In the same manner, when God joins a blessing to you, your distance cannot put it asunder. You are getting the point I'm making? Is that if I had been in America, I would have prospered? It's not true. If that is the case, you are not serving God. It is not God that you are serving. If your prosperity is dependent on a particular geographical location, except that it's a matter of calling, then it is not God that you are serving. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? Listen, opportunity doesn't come but once for the man that is blessed. It comes again and again and again. He locates where he is. They are homing missiles. They tie your name to it. They find you. They don't blow up until they find you. That's just the way it works. So what are you supposed to do? You are supposed to qualify yourself for the blessing of God. Remember what we said earlier? That's in previous teachings. Why did God ask Samuel? He said, call Eliab. Eliab passed. He said, it is not this one. Call Abinadab. That one passed. It's not this one. Call Shammai. That one passed. Not the. They kept on going until the seventh one passed. And they said, these are all your sons? The man said, yes. But God said that I should anoint a son in this house. You said you wanted a king. These are the kingly materials. There's one small one. I don't think you can be serious about that. Samuel said, you left one behind. Did I not tell you bring all of them? Okay, I wasn't sure. You know, he doesn't have a first class. He didn't go to a first class university. The course he studies is not exactly what the kind of thing that makes kings. You are getting what I say here. His father doesn't really know anybody. I mean, he's not connected. I didn't think that's a kingly type. He's not his type that reigns over multi-billion-dollar companies. Sir, that's why we didn't call him. Someone said, in that case, nobody eats until he gets here. You are getting my point. And then they sent for him, and as soon as he came, God says, arise, anoint him. For this is he. You are getting what I'm trying to say? These blessings have names. They are not sporadic. You don't throw them at random. You are following what I'm saying? Listen, you must understand that it's as we are teaching, as the word of God is coming forth, that your heart is rearranging and accepting these facts. That's how you are getting closer to your own moment. So I hope we have understood that. Now, I just needed to chip that one in to help us understand why we are doing these things we are doing. Now, last week, we began to talk about that ministry of wealth and the vow of poverty. And for a minute, let me just remind us of what I said. I said wealth is a ministry. And I will explain some things about that further today. That it is not a matter of enjoyment. It's a matter of responsibility. Remember, we took our text from Luke chapter 19, right? Where we described that a man was going out. That's the parable of Jesus Christ. He was going out to take kingdoms. Or take a kingdom for himself, and we established that the kingdom had cities in it. Now, what he did was to give money to his slaves, his servants, that they should do business with that money until he will come back. And we explained that what he was actually doing was seeing how effective they would be in using things that were small, things that they could handle. He gave all of them the same amount of money, and one multiplied his own money tenfold, another multiplied his fivefold, and one refused to do anything with his own. Now, the one that multiplied his money tenfold, he made him lord over 10 cities, which tells us that what he was checking for was the ability to administer 10 cities. And I said that many things that God has given you in life, that's what God is using to decide whether you will reign over 10 cities or you will not. Are you getting my point? It's not as if he make you a ruler over a small city first and decide that you'll be good over 10 cities. He said, no, take this money and do business with it till I come back. Or he has given you a gift, take this gift and do business with it till I come back. You know, this evening as I entered into the kitchen, you know, in the house, I think I went to get something just before I came here. That thing came to my mind again. And at a point, I almost felt that, look, God, what is going on? I hope I'm not running around in circles as Kingdom World activities. That, you know, I was just thinking about some enlargements that we should step into. And that's okay. So I had ideas and all that, and I've shared some of them with you in the past. I had all those ideas come to my mind again. Then I said, okay, what am I going to do, all right, about fulfilling them? Then the thought came to my mind again, nothing. Just the one you have right now, do it effectively. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is why we will be here and teach as hard as possible, as regularly as we can maintain. Are you following my point? Because it's as you use the little money that he has given you that he decides that you can be a lord over 10 cities. Are you getting my point? Listen, I told you there was a book I was working on. I've not finished that one, titled How to Get Results. That is for Christians. Christians often use the methods of the world. Now let me say this again. Those methods, they work. Listen, they work. In fact, a particular chapter in that book is titled The World Works. Did you hear what I said? The world works. I didn't say the word works. We are used to the word of God working. But I said the world works. So if you want to use the production of results as a validation for what is good and what is bad, you will get confused. All right? Because when God cursed Adam, he didn't say, Adam, you will never see bread to eat. He only said you will sweat. So there is a principle of sweating before you find bread. Are you getting my point? There is a principle of sweating and finding bread. And believe me, most of what is taught, which Christians even imbibe, and a lot of preachers preach, is nothing but how to get results even though you are still cursed. Because according to the word of God, a man under a curse can still get results. If he sweats enough, with the power of his soul, he will overcome the force of death. But then, he has to die young. Because you are exerting energy. The energy, the fluid of your life, you are using it to overcome the force of death. Eventually, you will wear out. You are getting the point I'm making? So the world works, that's what I mean. But it's not that kind of results that we are looking for as children of God. Are you getting the point I'm making? But there is a principle by which Christians get results. And that's the fact that they will be energized by the Spirit of God, which is a supply from God. That is, God looks and says, this guy is ready. And then I pour it upon him. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is the same effort. Now listen to this. That David used to rear his sheep. The same zeal that David used to rear his sheep is what he will use when he becomes a king. That is, God determined that he will be a successful king while he was a successful shepherd. Are you following my point? Listen, you couldn't ever have skimmed from being a shepherd to being a king. It's too difficult. It's just too difficult. But where you are a shepherd, God says, shepherd very well. And then the time of appointing kings, we know where to find you. Let me say this again. There are no accidents in life. There's no mistake. At all. I don't believe in it. Look, spiritual forces control everything. Are you getting my point? If God ordained for you to meet somebody, you will meet the person. You know all those ones that Christians have used to confuse us in the past? I just pray in the morning, and the Lord said, this morning, go down to the railway station and go and wait there. When you get there, you will see the first coach arrive. Don't look at that one. Wait for the second coach, and you are not a prophet. Stop that nonsense. Are you getting my point? It's God talk to one man like that. Doesn't make the normal will. It doesn't make the normal way of living. Let me tell you what happens most of the time. What will happen is that a desire will arise inside you to travel. You will go to the airport. They will say there are no flights. So you'll be forced to go and take the next available one, which is a train. Do you get my point? That's the way it works most of the time. It's not as if this morning I prayed and prayed and God now said, today is the day of a breakthrough. Go to the center of the road and go and wait there. Listen. The day you will have to go in the center of the road, all that will happen is that your car will just stop. You won't know why. This car is new. In fact, I just finished servicing last week. Why did it now stop now? Of all times, in the center of morning traffic, God will say that you might meet the man that I ordained for you to meet. Now listen, there are people that God is stopping so that they might meet you and be of help to you. You are getting what I'm going to say? Yes, that's the way it works. So please don't worry yourself about a connection. Those are the things that the world uses. Now, if they work, it appears. There are two reasons why. One, I've already established, is the fact that sweating can get results for Adam. Then number two is that we see the time of fruit in the lives of people. And you know, the Bible says that he that watches the wind will not sow. But he also said that he that observes the clouds will also what? Not reap. That is, there is work to do in the sowing time, and there's still work to do in the reaping time. Are you getting my point? Now, most of the things that they teach us and say, the methods by which this man gets results, they are the reaping the reaping methods. Most people don't know the methods for sowing. Because what is sown in secret is what people reap openly. Even the man sowing may have forgotten when he sowed the correct seed or did not even know he was sowing the correct seed. You know, when David was shepherding sheep, he wasn't thinking about being a king. If he was not a man that knew God so well, he wouldn't be able to teach you. Are you getting my point? You just say, how did you become king? Wow, it's good to be a fine boy. I spent money on my hair, I'm telling you. Jerry calls, Because when I appeared, they said my appearance was good. And then the prophet saw that my head could receive oil because I've been putting oil on it before. Amen. So all the small boys, next thing they are in the hairdressing salon, I beg, this head, you just have to make it look like that of David. Because when my hair shines like that of David, then somewhere will find me. You are getting the point I'm making? But meanwhile, it had nothing to do with it. Are you getting my point? Many people will start fighting Goliath, and the Goliath will be killing them because they thought that by fighting Goliath, they will become king. And they, David, what happened? He said, one day I went to the battlefront. When I saw Goliath, I went after him. And you killed him? Yes. And then that's how you became. That was the beginning. No? That was the beginning, because after that, Saul was jealous. Then God got angry with Saul and killed him and made me king. Wow, boys. The giants didn't finish. No. You start looking for trouble. Then the giants will now really, really fulfill the prophecy of Goliath upon their heads. They will feed them to the bird. Now, what am I trying to say? That these people sometimes want to use the steps of harvest that a man took when they did not sow the seeds of that man. You are getting the point. What we are teaching is so that we will understand the right seeds. And number one, I said before, is the right thought patterns. That's what you sow into the spiritual realm that controls the forces of earth, of this earth, and brings positive results for you. I hope you get the point. All right, so that's what we established then, Luke chapter 19, that God, that the ruler, the master of the household, he went to take cities. All right, before then, that's while he was living, he tested the people to see what they could handle. And we are saying that many things you are experiencing in life are also tests that God is using to see what you can handle when he's ready to give out cities. Now, those cities still exist today. All right, they may not be geographical cities in which people are sitting down and they have a council of elders in the city. Some of those cities are companies. Are you getting my point? I mean, the council of elders are boards of directors now. Are you following the point I'm making? Yeah, those things still happen, all right? God is building new cities. Look, he's the one that builds the cities. The Bible says that by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Are you getting my point? So God is building cities and is looking for who we put in charge. You are following the point I'm trying to make? I mean, God is building universities, and those are cities. He's building big companies, those are cities. He's building great things, great ministries on this earth, and those are cities. And he's testing men while they are yet young. Look, listen, always just be patient with God. He knows what he's doing. He never forgets you. He's still working on you, and that's a fact. God is not in a hurry. No, I always say it. He's not competing with your cousin. I believed before him. I've been serving God for 12 years. God said, well, each person has a race set before him. That each person has his own race. Your cousin is running his race. Whether he's failing or succeeding, there's no way you can tell. You can't tell. So, I'm not competing with anybody. The size of the house he has built, it doesn't concern me. Like I always say, you know, the way I say it, as long as the person is not teaching the way of success, I'm happy. you can say, I made my first billion last year. And you are younger than me, and you don't know as much scripture as I do, doesn't matter. Are you teaching the way of success? No. Do you teach 5 p.m. every Saturday at Kingdom World Office? You don't. I do that. She? So this is my race. Your race is the 1 billion naira race. This is my own. This is my race. This is my race. And I'm winning. Do you follow the point I'm making? No, please, these things are important because Satan just, you know, makes people start running other people's races. He said, my brothers made me keep their vineyards. Songs of Solomon chapter 1. He said, my own vineyard I have not kept. Everybody has his vineyard. Do you follow my point? This life, I'm not on anybody's race. You know, that's what Satan does. Get you into an unholy competition, you know, unholy race. Look, that's it. I'm not in a hurry. God knows what he's doing, all right? My own is just be diligent with, I'll be diligent with what I'm given to do each day. And in his due season, are you getting my point? Each person has his own season. In my own season, certain things will begin to happen. Are you getting that point? All right. Now, so let's just continue. So, we established that, I explained that wealth is a ministry. We are talking about wealth. And when I talked about the vow of poverty, what I said is that it means that whatever, that since you understand that it's an assignment, okay, that means that it is not yours. Just like I use the unction of God upon me, the anointing to teach the people of God. In the same manner, there are people that the anointing is to gather wealth, material wealth. So if they understand what we are saying, then they will also use that to bless people. Just like a teacher will use his teaching to bless, they will also use their own administration of material resources to bless people. That is, the man does not consider himself richer than the fellow who's beside him, whose job is not to amass wealth, but to do something else. That is, we are just servants of the same master, and we will both be satisfied in our basic needs as we are faithful in the calling of God for our lives. That is, really, I'm not richer than the other fellow. That's what I mean by the vow of poverty. That I have said that these things I am doing, even though I'm handling money and material wealth, it's not mine. It belongs to God. God is using it as an instrument to create effect on the earth. That's basically the meaning of the vow of poverty. I hope you understand that. Now, there's something I want us to examine today before we close. Open your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8. Well, let me just jump from verse 1. I will just be jumping. I'm going down to 18, actually. He said, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers. You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you, to know what is in your heart, what was in your heart, whether you will keep his commandments or not. Now, please, I'm trying to jump now. Now, he said many things there, and then let me just go down to 11. He said, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold and all that you have, he said, verse 14, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God
who brought you out from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Now, he did all these things for you. He said in verse 18, he said, but you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you power to make wealth. I like the way it says New American Standard. The power is to do what? Make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Now, I like to read things in context. That's why I read all of these. Actually, my emphasis, or what I want to bring out mainly, is from verse 18. When it said, the Lord gave you the power, or is giving you the power to make wealth, the literal Hebrew for wealth is strength. Did you hear what I said? The literal Hebrew for wealth is what? Strength. Actually, what he was saying is this. It is the Lord that's giving you the power to make strength. The Lord giving you the power to make ability. Now, I'm trying to explain something here. Wealth, that is what it is exactly. It is strength. The ability to do work. That is, you see, that's the problem with people. Most of the times, we think that wealth is just, you know, something to show off. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Something to show that, yes, I have been blessed. Now, I said that during the teaching of the pursuit of holiness, that whatever it is that God gives in life must be sanctified. What do we mean by sanctify? We mean to consecrate it for doing the purpose of God on the earth. Remember that that's when I first said that I would like us to teach on how it relates to material things like money and wealth. So wealth actually is to do work. The corruption that Satan sells to people is that they think it is primarily to, you know, enjoy yourself. But it's not like that. It's not for you to acquire comfort for yourself in life. The ability to enjoy life is a gift of God. Wealth, actually, it is like an anointing. Just like I am teaching now, and listen, I'm not exerting any effort to make you understand. I'm anointed to teach. Do you get my point? No, that's just my office. Are you getting what I'm saying? All right, I hardly see visions. In fact, I don't see visions. I've dreamt dreams, all right? And most of the dreams are very personal. Are you getting my point? And that's not the means of a prophet. A prophet's dreams tend to affect other people. My own dreams are very, very personal. Very, very. All right? They've affected my life. I can have revelations, but that's not a prophetic office. All right? When I pray with people, like I went somewhere recently, and we prayed for hours and prayed overnight and all of that. So my friend coordinated and said, okay, that I should end the whole thing. And I just said simply, I believe that there are prophets amongst us. They had better start talking. And while they were talking, I kept quiet. And those who saw visions began to explain the visions they saw. Those who dreamt dreams, welcome to the club. Thank you. Explain it. No, it's true. When they finished, a few people finished, they said yes. I said, good. Everybody sit down. May I take more time than those who see visions? Sit down, open your Bibles to the book of Job, chapter 33. And then I began to teach. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, it's an anointing. Somebody has had a different kind of anointing. Let me say this to you. In the same way, somebody has an anointing to create wealth. Are you getting my point? And wealth in itself is again an anointing. You know what anointing means? It means the ability to do work without sweating. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? That's what it means. All right? I have seen those who are not anointed to teach struggle to teach. I have seen it. I'm sure you have seen it too. Uh-huh. And I feel sorry for them. Maybe because that's my own area. I say, why is this man sweating like this? Why? He should just leave the thing alone. All right. Now, in the same manner, you know, have you ever been to maybe like Kingdom World here now? You say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brethren, see, as our generator has gone off, God has been leading me that we should buy an automatic 5 kVA diesel generator who will give 5,000 naira. You can stand there forever. The next 5 weeks, you are looking for money for generator. That is, nobody there is yet anointed. I don't know whether you get my point. Listen, let me tell you what anointing does. They are talking about wealth as an anointing. As this gen goes, somebody will just come at the end and say, Pastor, why did that gen quench? You talk something, they say, I think we need a new one. Say, yeah, I think so too. And that's it. He goes away. Then as he's going, he say, with 5 kVA do, I think it will. The next morning, all the way from one gen company, they dragged 1.5 kVA down. So somebody said we should bring it down here and install it. That's an anointing. Do you get my point? It's what? Anointing. The man has gone and has anointed the shop with cash and has ordered them to go and deliver the generator. No, I'm serious.
The same way you will lay hands on the sick to get healed or teach that men might have understanding. The same way he commands men to do his bidding by having cash. That is the importance of consecration. Because Ed Cole said, you can buy the conscience of men with the same effort. Do you follow my point? I don't know what I'm trying to say. Let me tell you, as a preacher, let me explain again. Now, I have seen preachers misuse their gifts. That is, if you have the power to persuade people, listen, the anointing is very interesting. I am teaching, as far as my conscience understands it, what I know to be the truth. Do you get my point? Without any other motive, just to get people to understand God. The joy of my heart is that people get to know God more. Now, you know that I'm still a person, though I'm a preacher. I have personal issues. I mean, like, I may be angry with you now. I may be very angry with you. And then you now mistakenly go and open a shop downstairs. And I'm very angry with you. Okay? And everybody is listening to me, the way of success, or Saturday meetings, Monday, they are listening. And I'm very angry with you. Do you know it's very easy to spoil your business using my anointing? I will speak words, you know, because I know people listen to me and they respect my opinion. That is why no preacher should ever get up and say, God spoke to me that this man will be your next president. That is corruption. No, I'm serious. If God spoke to you that this man will be the next president, don't say to anybody. Discuss with your family and your close friends. Because what you are doing is to campaign for him. Because if you are a very influential minister, once you say, then the day of voting, everybody queues. They don't, even if a man looks like he can't perform. Are you getting my point? You have not helped God by saying that. What I'm trying to say is that you can misuse your anointing. You are anointed to teach, but you teach people out of the anger of your heart so as to corrupt another person's business. That's a misuse. And I was saying something that anointing is very interesting. Don't think that once you start talking nonsense, God withdraw the anointing. He won't. No, he won't. He has given you the power to persuade. Number one, two things he gives to teachers. Number one, he gives you the ability to understand. That is one. And then number two, the ability to communicate that understanding. That is, the ability to persuade people concerning what you have understood. You can decide to use it to corrupt people's minds. You can do that. The one that is commonest is that preachers use it to collect money. I first read it from Demos Shakarian. He organized a meeting, and this man, with his one eye and one leg, I think, was a very anointed man. For 6 weeks, this guy was preaching. People were giving their lives to Christ. The sick were getting healed. The man was healing the crippled and all of that by the power of the anointing. The very last day, they were about to close the meeting. The man said, not here. That is in his mind. What did he do? He spent 2 hours taking an offering. If God has blessed you in the last few weeks, come forward and come and show your gratitude. Oh, you have come once, you can come a second time. Oh, dear sister, God bless you. As you are coming there, yes, the Lord will bless you. He just keeps, looking at him. 2 hours. He says, show your gratitude to God. Show God how much you appreciate what he has done for you in the last many weeks. Come once, come twice. If you don't have money, I'm adding my own now. This is what I'm about to add is my own. If you don't have money, borrow from your neighbor, you pay him back when you get home. At the end of the day, no being organized meeting in a guest minister. As soon as he finished collecting the offering, he ran to where the ushers carried the money to, brought out 2 small bags and stuffed all the money into it and said, that's my money. And looked at them, told all of you, these people don't have sense. He told them, Shakarian, in straight words, that I think you're a fool, that you have something great going on out here and you don't know how to take advantage of it. Adios, bros. Collected his 2 bags and walked away. Demos Shakarian said he never saw the guy again until, I think, 3 years later. I'm not sure. A number of years. When the man stopped at his door to beg for money. That's, I'm trying to get home. I'm very broke. As you see me, so, nothing in the bros' pocket. Nothing. You know, just search me. Nothing. 5 years later, he heard the man was dead. He was in his 30s. I told you, read. You will learn a lot of instruction. Are you getting my point? That was somebody who misused his anointing. What am I preaching this season? That the man that God has given wealth should also realize it's an anointing. And he should be careful what he uses it to accomplish. That's what we are saying. The same thing. Listen, Ed Cole said, money is the second thing when it comes to power, all right, to omnipotence. That the only thing more powerful than money is God. And you know, Jesus said it like that. He said, you cannot serve God and... That is, when they said, look, the only person competing with God for your heart is this one, the thing must be powerful. Jesus said, beware of covetousness. You know what that means? When you see covetousness, run. Be aware that the thing is dangerous. That's the meaning of the word, beware. So you see, that shows the amount of power that is inside it. That time I heard Ed Cole said that thing. It was the time that Babangida was using money to corrupt every good thing in Nigeria. And I realized indeed how powerful money is. It's about, I think it should be Satan's instrument number one. He can buy anointing with it. If you don't believe me, remember the story of Balaam. The man went to pray. God spoke to him clearly. Balak said, there are two ways God talks. One without money, the second one with money. Double the money. When they went back, Balaam licked him out. All this gold for me? He said, yes, sir, if you just come along. Ah! He said, but I can't go now. I said, God says, let me go and ask God again. I mean, God can't let this kind of offering pass us by. Come on. We need it for the ministry. He went back. God said, since you want to go, be on your way. All this God told me. I have told you that it doesn't mean anything. Now, I hope you have seen that it doesn't mean anything. Listen, before you say God told me, we will examine the heart that heard God. It doesn't mean you didn't hear God. The prophets that were prophesying before Ahab and Jehoshaphat, all right? They were hearing from heaven. But Micaiah said, I heard God send lying spirits into their mouths. So they were not trying to deceive anybody, in quotes. But they spoke because they knew the kind of things Ahab wanted to hear. And God allowed them to speak by inspiration what Ahab wanted to hear. He said, who will entice him to go to Ramoth Gilead that he might perish there? The God said to Balaam, go? Yes. But the God wants him to go? No. The God said to the children of Israel, you can divorce your wives? Yes. But Jesus said it was because of hardness of heart. Look, I have looked around a bit and I've heard so many kinds of God told me. When I was praying about this, God began to say, this was the covenant I had with God, and God began to say, ah, please, I'm releasing that book very shortly. Great faith can be yours. What I explain in that book is that, listen, faith comes according to the kind of heart with which you approach God, not the amount of intellectual knowledge you have. I prayed, and then God began to speak. Listen, God speaks according to what you are ready to hear. So don't harass God with speech at all. As a child of God, stop telling God to speak. Say, God, if you want to talk, I will hear. If you don't want, just please keep busy. I have things I'm doing here too. That is, I'm here working on my heart according to the one you have revealed in the scriptures, trying to obey you. Because people say, God speaks, so he speaks. But is God like this? No. It's just that what you want to hear, if you harass him enough, you will hear it. That is, don't let me go to that side. Let me give you the gist, Joe. That is why we say that, I just prayed. I need that God said I should marry this sister. You liked her, that is why. Don't fool us. We are not children. If you like woman, say you like him. Say, bro, good afternoon, man. I like you. There's nothing like, God now said I should marry her. Listen, my friend, you like her. That is why God told you to marry her. If you didn't like her, is your name Ozia or what? Hey, I'm not saying God didn't say you should marry her, but I'm saying, first of all, you liked her first. That's just by the way. That's not part of what I just said. They bought his anointing. But let me emphasize that the ministry of wealth, which must go with the vow of poverty, is for you to understand, are you getting my point? That this thing is an instrument in the hands. This is something that God has given me as an instrument in my hands to do the work of God. Are you getting my point? And as we go on, we'll begin to see, because each person will know the exact kind of work that God has called him to do. Because you see, there's something, number one, this is very important. I'll just run through this and then we'll develop some of them and further. Now, there are many things that God wants us to do on the earth. Number one, okay, is to promote his kingdom. What I mean is that, I don't mean that to increase the size of our churches, you know. There is something about Christians and denominations. You know, most of them, at least in this part of the country, most of our parents belong to one church or the other. So we grew up thinking that the church of God is a denomination. I don't know whether you get what I want to say. So even though we left the church of our parents, when we entered our own churches, we just carried the mentality into a new church. I don't know whether you are getting that. This is the work of the kingdom, that church must increase and fill the whole earth. Now, I'm trying to explain something here. That's what Christians make as mistakes. They think that when we're talking about expanding the kingdom of God, it is expanding our own denomination. And people, this is the sad part, they preach it from the pulpit, and listen, it is wrong. Listen, you know what the kingdom of God is? It's discipling every man for Jesus Christ. That is it. Are you getting the point? The kingdom of God is to bring the fear of God to the heart of every person. That's what it is. You are making disciples of all the nations. It doesn't mean they are all going to the same church. It doesn't mean it at all. If you want to be blessed as a Christian, please recognize that it's not only your church where they have Christians. There are churches I won't step into. Even if I die, they say, let's look for who will do funeral service. Don't go to that church. Don't carry me there. For only one reason. Once the church starts saying that we are the one, the rest of them, nothing for them, then I won't go there. I won't. I know many, you know, I know many Pentecostal churches that are just like that. You see them feeling very, very superior. As if the pastor knows they use toilet. You know, looking very straight. Sometimes I look at some of them, I want to carry oil and stain that his suit so that we know that. And you know, for me, I look at some of those pastors, I will say, you, I know you. You're a small boy. You. I'm not talking to your face, though. No matter what you look like, you're a small boy. And if I see you, I won't say good morning, sir. I will call you by your first name. Ah, Paulo, how you doing now? If it's wickedness on my part sometimes, but I just sometimes want to cut some people down to size. Like, what's your problem? Why are you crying like pastor? Pastor is a normal human being. I hope you get the point. If he does his work well, God will bless him. If the man who is a creator of wealth does his work well, God will also bless him. How can you show that I say you're superior to anybody? I thank God I don't have friends like that. Because if you're like that, you can't be my friend. We will quarrel. Now, what is the gospel? Is that when I say we will spread the kingdom of God on the earth, we are talking about making, you know, bringing every thought, like Paul said, all right, in subjection to the knowledge of God. That's what we are talking about. It's very important. These are the things that God wants done on the earth. We'll develop these things later. Then another thing is that, another mistake that Christians make, I've explained one in which they think that it's just their denomination that is of God. Everybody else, you're not of God, all right? And there are Christians that can give their last shirt to their church, but they can't give you 15 naira to eat food. I have met many. Because that one is not the work of God. If it's new rug in their church, they can remove their trouser and use it to buy one square inch of rug to put in church. That is, they won't wear trouser again. They will be wearing, you know, they'll be wearing pata to church, yes. So yes, our church has a new rug. Are you getting my point? But may they give you 50 naira to eat. No, they can't do it. I sacrificed for God. I gave my last trouser. God said, it's not me. You gave it to your church, not me. Because if it was really me you were giving to, just as you gave to your church, you give to somebody in need also with the same kind of favor. Which brings me to the next point. It's not only to build, to establish the kingdom of God, like we say, like explaining that God is after. Again, do you know? Sorry, you know, Africa, eh? Believe me, black man get problem. Noah did us bad, though. For those of us who came for the series, I taught then in Genesis, When Noah said to... When Moses recorded that Noah said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be." Remember that Canaan did not sin. Who sinned? Ham. Ham was his father. And for a long time we asked the question, why was he saying, "Cursed be Canaan," when it was Ham that sinned? Ham, the father of Canaan. Then when we were studying, then we discovered it is very simple. The reason was because Moses was writing the accounts of creation down to that wilderness as it concerned the children of Israel. And they were about to step into the land of Canaan. So he was explaining why they were stepping into the land of Canaan. So the concern of Moses, who was documenting this, was as it affected them. So you see the genealogy drawn was skewed towards how you got down into Israel, down to David, down to, you know, that's the way it went. We told us something simply, that it was not Canaan that God cursed. It was actually Ham. But the curse was upon him and his children. Are you getting the point? But then Moses talked about the one that had to do with him and the nation of Israel. So he said, "Cursed be Canaan." Then we suddenly understood that, in effect, he was also saying, "Cursed be Mizraim and cursed be Cush." Those were the other children of Ham, the ancestors of the African. So a lot of those guys around Israel there, down to Africa, Noah cursed them. I'm serious about what I'm saying. Cursed be Ham. Cursed be Cush. Cursed be Canaan. Cursed be Mizraim. Cursed be all the descendants of Ham. Servant of servants will they be. Now, why am I saying that? All the curses have been eradicated in Christ Jesus. Listen, you know, people can say what they like. You know, politics is different from truth. You know that. They say, white man discriminates against a black. Let me tell you the truth. If I was a white man, I would discriminate against a black man. It is not out of your color. It's not color that's their problem. All you need to do is relate with the cursed black man. You won't want to relate with him. They are cursed. No, I'm sorry. You know, I can say this easily. Black man too, nothing spoiled. Are you getting my point? No, the problem of the black man shows up everywhere. It's in their minds. How many of you know Barack Obama? See, these are the things we are saying. It's in the genes. See, who knows? All the guys put up their hand, at least half of them. And the ladies look at each other and say, "Is it kind of perfume now?" Anyway, Barack Obama is one of the front runners, all right, in the Democratic Party, all right, in the U.S. for the next presidency, all right? Now, he's a black man. His mother is white, but he's from Kenya, all right? His father is from Kenya. Now, I was watching the other day, and the complaint, this was on CNN, that the black people are now complaining that Barack Obama is not black enough. It's not because his mother is white. That's not the problem. His father was from Kenya. Now, he's a proper American. He's currently, I think he's a senator, all right? He's a senator, yes. So he's running for presidency. He said the guy is not black. He's not black enough. He made a joke. I watched that a few days ago. He came for, he was supposed to speak somewhere, and he came 10 minutes late. So he turned into a joke. He said, "I'm so sorry I'm late, but at least now you guys know I'm really black." Because even there, they know black men are always late. I talked to people who live with them. Say, a typical black American is a lazy man. He doesn't like to work. He keeps blaming the white man, but he doesn't like to work. You know, last time I wasn't around, you know, that I went for a course. My brother-in-law and I were going one day, we were talking. So one car drove up beside us, and he saw a black man in the car, blasting music loud. On the main road, cars. I look, okay, you see earring here. You see his braided hair. So my brother says, "See, idiot, why won't police pull you over?" That is very so. You say, "Police, they are harassing black people." Yes. Even if I were the policeman, I would harass you. Look at you. Look at you. Is that what respectable people look like? Your music is disturbing all the 20 car radius, everybody listening to your music with you. So how do we, you're not hearing anything. Your spirit is deadened. You can't look. Listen, read that book when it comes out, please. I said the kind of music you hear decides whether you have faith or not. If that's the kind of thing you listen to, you can never believe God because your spirit is dead. If you are listening to Snoop Dogg, you are not born again. Say Banky said, go and tell God that Pastor Banky said I'm not born again. God will tell you, yes, you are listening to Snoop Doggy Dog. Snoop Doggy Dog is of the devil. No, listen, I don't care. First time I heard him rap, man, I was taken over. This guy is smooth, he's talented. Then I tried to listen to him. After half of the track, I shut down the thing. It couldn't enter a righteous man's eardrums. It's not possible. When he released his movie, Doggy Style, it was pornography. And that, you know, you go abroad, everywhere is clean. Until you go to the place where the African man dominates, they don't even sweep the front. You say, white man is discriminating. It's not discrimination. It is the cause of Noah. It's not their fault. You're not here when we're doing that series on Genesis. Please don't let me sit on the bad side. Let me come to the correct side. When we're talking about the kingdom of God, this is the kingdom of God in Christ Jesus. Are you getting my point? The curse of Noah has been removed. Are you getting what I'm saying? And now, I forgot to finish the gist about Barack Obama myself. Why? You know why they were talking like that? Because the man is not from the struggling group of black men. So the other black man said, no, he's not black enough. That is, he hasn't suffered. He's not fighting the white man. He's not cursing the white man who go black. Most of those black activists refused to accept that he was properly black. That he only made it because he was sucking up to the white man. That he was a bootlicker for the white man. Meanwhile, it's only people like that that could carry them anywhere. Once they see people like that, they wanted to be shouting with them, Aluta, 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 continue. When Aluta discontinued long ago, they are still believing that Aluta is continuing. But let me just say the main thing I want to say. What is the work of God on the earth? Because it's important to God that we show forth his excellency. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's important that we show forth what? His excellency. Now, we have this recreated spirit of Christ in us. We are not under the curse of Noah anymore. Are you getting my point? There is no white man that is superior to any black man as long as he's of faith in Christ Jesus. This is the work of God. You have to prove that for the earth to see. That is why I'm not willing to sweep gutter for any white man, no matter how much dollars he pays me. I will never do it. I am a recreated man in Christ Jesus. I am not a beggar. I'm a man of influence. I walk tall, you know, with my shoulders spread out. I like what Bishop Oyedepo said once. He said he went to New York. The pastor there was shaking. They didn't have enough money for something. He said, what is the problem? They told him. He opened his briefcase, gave the man US dollars. Go and pay. He said, black is not lack. You are getting the point? He said, once he finished preaching, a white man came to him and said, what needs do you have in your ministry? He said, he looked at him and said, our ministry is not a needy ministry. We're giving ministry. If you have a need, tell me. I will meet it. He said, the man's nose turned red. Yes. When you embarrass a white man, he becomes red. It's very good. He's the one that is colored. We are not colored. We are just black. It changes color. When you embarrass him, he's red. When it's cold, he's blue. When he's afraid, he's white. Different colors. Now, what am I going to say? It is the work of the kingdom that you prove to the earth what God has done. That you are not cursed like Noah cursed people. Listen, you can travel anywhere you want all over the world. Please, you must never be a runner or a beggar. And you know, I'm suffering. Let me go to where there's no suffering. That Noah's curse has not departed from you. We are talking about wealth. He said it is God that gives you what? The power to make. I like the word New American Standard. Wealth is what is made. They don't run looking for it. They make it. They create it. Let's talk on relevant things for Nigeria right now. Believe me. When I look at Charles Soludo, I know God is doing something. That man is always cooking up interesting ideas. Whether they will work or not, it's not my problem. He's cooking something up. It's not business as usual. No, I like him for that. We will forgive all his iniquities. Just keep cooking up ideas. Because the man that is cooking up something, God can add something to it. But the one that just frozen still like this, we are not going anywhere. As we are going on, we'll see what it means to earn money and put into pockets the households. It's one of the ways by which the curse of Noah is affecting many generations on this earth. They work for little. Are you getting my point? Then that little they put into pockets, and the pocket, the Bible says, has holes. The man that is blessed works little, earns plenty, and that plenty, he finds it hard to even finish spending it. And it's the responsibility of the people that have been blessed by God, forgiven by the power, the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus, to become Josephs, to help people preserve their harvest. So it's the work of God on the earth, listen to me, for you to become an economic giant. It's not just like, let us go to church. That one is good. Let's pray the gospel. It's very correct. But the gospel has practical effects, practical things that it does in the lives of people. One of them is for it to create in the hearts of those so called by God, great multinationals, and they will birth it on the earth and say, we are not cursed. We are black yet. Look at what God is doing through us. Are you getting the point with me? Listen, you have to start thinking like that. You're not a beggar. You know how you hold slaves forever? Just be giving him more than he can eat, and he's happy. He will be your slave for life. But a man who is not a slave is not interested in what he can eat. He says, how can I die and not leave a legacy on this earth? I like one thing that was reported about Peter Daniels. Peter Daniels said he has two assignments in life. He's a 70-something-year-old man now. I bought one of his books recently. Peter Daniels said he wants to see how much money a man can give out in a lifetime. You know, most of us want to see how much money we can earn in a lifetime. Peter Daniels said, I want to see how much money I can give out in a lifetime. The first three business... Now, listen, the man was illiterate as a young man. He didn't go to school at all. He taught himself book, everything. The first two or three companies he started went bankrupt. But his faith in Christ Jesus wouldn't let him give up. Eventually, he began to do well. So he started giving out money. He said he wants to see how much money a man can give out. He gave out money, give out. And he became richer still. The man is racing against himself to see how much money he can give out in a lifetime. Yet he's getting richer. There is he that scattereth and yet increaseth. So the second assignment he has, he wants to do something on the earth that will affect the generations of the earth for 300 years if Jesus doesn't come back. Now that's a blessed man's mentality. Not what can I eat? What can I drink? And wherewithal shall I be clothed? You know, I told my wife something a few days ago. I said, when I came back from my course, one of those days, as I was going, I went to my office. As I was walking, and, okay, Ayika is not around. Ayika saw me, one of the young women that come here for this teaching. She's not around today. I said, from a distance, when I saw the look on her face, I told my wife, I can never run away from this place. I can't. Now, it's not just like somebody's happy to see, because there's another lady that works in her office that saw me. That one jumped on me, literally. But that's not what I'm saying. But there was like, the man who teaches the word has come back. God, thank you. Thank you. I said, God, I told my wife, I said, see, I'm affecting lives. Chike sent me, it was a mail or text one day. I said, look, see, I'm going back home. He said, see, America is very good. I said, wait. They don't teach you, I don't teach you of success there. I don't. Let me go back to Enugu. That's where the action is. That is where the action, because you see, it's not a begging mentality we're talking about. It's what? A giving mentality. If you think like that in this world, listen, you can never be poor. And believe me, you will never die young. No accident will kill you. The accident will enjoy itself and get frustrated about you and leave you alone. You know, the devil looked at Job. God said, have you considered myself in Job? He said, yes, I did. I saw the hedge around him, so I left him alone. You are getting my point. Listen, one of the purposes for wealth on the earth is to create an example, a showcase of the blessedness that God has given to us in Christ Jesus. Are you getting my point? You know, I explained all of that talking about the problem of the black man. That thing is genetic. That is a spiritual problem. You cannot discuss it away. This, you know, poor maintenance culture is part of pockets that has holes. A stitch in time literally saves nine. We are always putting nine stitches when the blessed man is always putting one. Let me tell you why I've said what I've said. The Bible says that there was a city. Solomon said something I saw under the sun, an evil. He said there was a great king that came against this small city. He said, but inside that city, there was a small, he said there was a poor but wise man. Read the new, the today's English version, Good News. He said, who could have delivered the city by his wisdom? He said, but no one remembered him. Therefore, I lamented and said, wisdom is better than strength. But the wisdom of the poor man is despised, and his words are not heeded. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Pastor Bank, what are you saying? I am saying that the fact that nobody listens to a poor man is what God has joined with poverty. You can't pray it out of reality. You say, how will God listen to you? Why will people listen to you? You must be prosperous. Dangote has a bigger word to say in Nigeria than all the pastors put together. I hope you know. Aliko Dangote controls more economic policies than the GO and Bishop Oyedepo and WF Kumuyi joined together. You know, we deceive ourselves. We went to see the president. Of course, he said, welcome, sir. Welcome. He says welcome to every sir. Every small, poor, poverty-stricken Igwe from a village gets a sir from the president. So the fact the president welcomes you as a bishop and says, sir, doesn't mean anything. He said, our pilgrims are not being well-treated. He said, oh, it's your pilgrims. That's not a problem. It's your pilgrims. Where did they go to? Israel. To Mount of Transfiguration. Where Jesus is not coming back to. Though everybody's believing that he's coming back there. No problem. You want subsidy? They say, yes. You give subsidy. But people like Dangote will say, this cement itself. Ban importation. Ah, I pray that. I say, no problem, no problem. No problem. He will ban it. Then you'll be in church praying, Father, the price of cement. In Jesus' name, your children must build houses. The wisdom of the poor man is despised, and his words are not heeded. Go and read the story of Job. People listened to Job because of the amount of success that God had planted upon him. What am I trying to say? You won't change a nation like this as long as you are still one of the commentators. You write columns in the paper. But when you have prospered, are you getting my point? I told you that wealth is what? An instrument. It's an anointing. It's a force. It's a voice. It allows you to talk. He said, yeah, but a prophet can talk. Yes. Jesus could walk on water, right? How many times did he walk on water? Before he died. Once. The rest of the time, he will borrow what? Boat. You now from there be speaking. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Why didn't he stand on water? Because it is not normal. Are you getting my point? It's not usual. It's not God's order. So it is not God's order also that the poor Christians are the one controlling policy. It's not God's order. It is true. When the king arrests Peter, he will pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray before they finally release Peter. No, so. In the same manner, when the economic policy doesn't favor you, you will pray and pray and pray and pray before they change it. But wait. Let God bless you. And you and Dangote are talking there. Aliko, how now? If you confuse the president again, you won't sell sugar again in this country. I just say, Dave, why are you talking like this? Then you talk man to man. It's true. You don't do that by prayer. You can pray in the seed time. This is time to pray. In the harvest season, it's money that talks. Are you getting my point? You use the power of wealth to legislate righteousness. But I hope you are getting the point I'm making, all these things I'm saying. That wealth is not, look, one, we spread the kingdom of God. Yes. We demonstrate the excellence that's in Christ Jesus. These are purposes for living. That is why, listen, that's why I'm not so excited. If I go into a country, America is very good, Britain is very good. I know. Listen. America is a blessed country. No, those countries are good. But I'm looking for the shining forth of my light. Are you getting my point? That where things are bad, you know, last time I was in Lagos, all I was dreaming of was, you know, I went to Yaba. I was thinking, all this congestion here, What if they did this? You know, I was thinking of how to make that Lagos look as fine as New York. It's not impossible. You know, you understand my point. The problem is in the head. It's not resources. It's not resources at all. What am I trying to say? One of the assignments for the children of God is to change these orders. These are all, you know, these are problems of the spirit, believe me. Things will change when men that God has blessed, when women that God has placed a spirit inside rise up and they take charge. That's what we are saying. Listen to me. It's a worthy goal in life. It's an accursed man that talks like this. What is anybody looking for in this life, Seth? Once you have enough money to buy a house, buy a car, and send your children to school, what more are you looking for? Just know that Satan has put his neck in an arm lock and he can't see straight. Because life is not about training your wife, feeding your wife and training your children and putting them in a decent house. That's not what life is about. In fact, as for children, they are with you to be trained as warriors for the next generation. All right? Are you getting my point? That's why the Bible says that the children are like what? Arrows. You are training warriors to be used for what? The fight of God for their generation. Otherwise, you actually don't need them. I'm not looking forward to a day when my children will be giving me money. Till I die. I can bless them. But they will have more money than me. But I will have enough to still be blessing people. In Jesus' name. Amen. But by the time Akinlu is 25, he will be skilled enough to head a company as big as ExxonMobil. Because Solomon was a teenager when he was heading Israel. It's training. Listen, don't leave your children for school teachers to train. You train them yourself. They can go to school for social gathering. Teach them arithmetic and English yourself. Teach them history and Bible stories yourself. Teach them how to run businesses. If you're a businessman, start showing your children how things are done. I like Robert Kiyosaki. I'm not saying he's a gospel preacher, but I like some of the things he says. Teach your children about money. Let them not equate money and chocolate as one is exchanged for the other. Like I always tell people, stop giving when you are going to church. You call your children, 5 naira, offering money. It's wickedness you are doing those children. Listen, as a house, let them know when you are giving offering. This check for 2.5 million naira, I am taking it to church for social and social. The man knows that for you, the work of the gospel is serious business. Don't train him with 5 naira. When you buy him Eclairs, how much do you pay? When you take him to Mr. Biggs, how much do you pay? Then you say you are teaching him how to give offering. You are giving 5 naira. You are telling him that meat pie is more expensive than the gospel. Are you getting my point? Don't create a wrong impression in his mind that church is changed. Let him see you give beggars 5 naira. That one is good. When you want to give to a man of God, make sure he's present. When you are giving to your own parents, are you getting my point? Let them know that Christmas, we are buying this for grandpa. Let him see how much money you are using to buy for grandpa. That's how he will treat you later. You are getting my point? Let me give him 5 naira to go to church. Abraham's blessing. Nonsense. I'm begging, let me close your. So then we can go home. Don't join the satanic cult of I don't need anything just for me and my children. No. You need to have a voice in life. Poor men don't talk. You are a head and not a tail. Please believe it. You need to look, listen. All you need to do is just be believing these words. Then when God says you have accepted, you know, remember what I said at the beginning? All God wants to do is change your thinking. Change your thinking. Once you have changed your thinking and you are thinking like God, God will now say, let me now put you in charge of cities. That's the way it works. I hope you have learned something today. Yes, if you have learned anything, say a loud amen. Amen. All right, let's just rise to our feet and begin to give God thanks again.